stop. The Dog and Joe Show. On 93.7 The River. Call the Dog and Joe Show at 916-766-9370.
All right, talking about my son tonight. He's going out on a double date. It's the first time he's been out with a chick and his buddy and his buddy's chick, and the buddy's chick is driving all four of them to the movies. And again, you know, I got this life thing figured out pretty much. 46 years of doing it, you know, rarely do I lean on the river rockers for advice.
You are so smart about life.
And actually, I think I am, but I'm just like everyone else, just as dumb as dirt when it comes to it. You know, everyone's got to figure this stuff out.
I didn't want to say that. We're trying to plan out an evening where you're trying to be a fit father.
Yeah, and I guess my question is what do you do with curfew? Son wants to stay out till midnight. I know that's too late, and I know this is one of those perfect storms where he's going to end up in a situation, or ultimately could end up in a situation, where in fact he's going to make the wrong decisions. He's already going. I've already told him that. I don't like the fact that he's going to leave school and go hang out at his buddy's house until he goes to the movie, and he wants to stay out till midnight, and I told my wife 10 o'clock, and so you know.
You do know that he is actually going to be in school all day, though, right? Does she watch him walk in?
Oh, yeah, no.
He wouldn't skip school. He's way too worried about college and grades.
No, no. And funny you bring that up, though, because Thursdays now, they have, if you sign a letter, they have an off-campus day for lunch. And this is going on the second week now that he has asked to go off-campus for lunch because all his buddies are going off-campus for lunch.
To a restaurant or something?
Out to the back stop, over to the behind the BK to smoke their dope and do all their stuff that high school kids do.
Oh, he's not smoking dope.
No, he's not, because he knows that I will whip every ounce of skin off of his structure. I will whip his skull bare is what I would do. His skeleton, I should say.
If he was going to go down a path like that, you probably would have caught something by now, wouldn't you? Some drinking or some doing something?
No. He's a good kid, but my point to him is I'm here to tell you the worst decisions I ever made, and I know you're not me, but your dad made, was leaving school campus. Because back in the day, we didn't have close campus. All we did is run wild like Dingo and Coyote. I mean, all the horrible stuff we did was during lunch at school. I mean, we were honestly, and we had fourth and fifth period lunch.
That's where the adults in your life failed you. We didn't have that when I was growing up. They let you kids smoke on campus. They let you leave campus. They let you go walk outside between classes.
I blame it on the school system in California and the superintendents and everyone on the school board that allowed us to do that.
I mean, a little blame's got to fall on you because you did just horribly abuse the system.
Yeah, we all did, especially if you had fourth period lunch. Really? You're going to have an open campus fourth and fifth period lunch? You think kids are coming back for fifth period when they got a fourth? No! You're going to get a double extended lunch if you have fourth lunch because you're staying out with the kids on fifth. That's what's stupid. They should have just made one of them. They should have flip-flopped them. You know what I mean? On Monday, it's fourth period. Tuesday, it's fifth period. They didn't do that,
though. That sounds asinine, doesn't
it? So, as soon as everyone left for fourth period lunch, all the fifth period teachers were empty.
Yeah,
there was
you're
no
gone.
Kids in the school.
That's funny and stupid.
So that's what I kind of am asking you guys on, and I'm not a helicopter parent. I got to say this. My wife, as much as she wants to back me on this and as much as she's like, let him do it. Let him pay the price. I don't care what he does. He's got to go out and do all this stuff.
Is that the way she says it?
She says it. But then when it comes down, because there's going to be a lot of deliberation between her and I up until he gets out of school today or until I get home after the show, we're going to talk about it on text and talk about all the, you know, what's going to happen. But yeah, she talks a big game, but as soon as it comes down to it, he's her little baby.
What's your nerve level on this right now?
I'm a cautious parent. I just know what could happen, and I don't know the people. If I knew all the people involved, it would be a lot easier.
Because I'm a nervous wreck. It's not even my son. Things like this freak me out. When I find myself coming into this situation, I'm going to have gas pains that morning.
You have anxiety on Sunday night because you have to return to work. You're a nervous Nelly Nancy is what you are. Everything makes you jittery.
I'd have anxiety on Sunday night if I was going to vacation on Monday.
See, that's Joe. Let's do this one. Let's go to, what's up, Kyle? Kyle, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hands free, free.
Yeah, yes you are, neighbor.
Woo! Welcome.
All right. Hey, long-time listener. Love the show, guys.
Thank you, Kyle.
All right, on this, I'm 99% with you, Dog, 1% with Joe. All right, I got a couple quick questions.
Hold on, though, before you ask the questions.
I appreciate that, Kyle. At least there's a percent.
Yeah, what percentage are you with on Joe?
The curfew time.
Okay.
You think 10 o'clock is too early, and you think it's a geeky time?
Maybe.
Okay. But then all the other stuff you agree with me on.
yeah, absolutely. I mean, you smell something fishy there. I think you're a smart man. You know, you should go with your gut. But
wait a minute, do you smell something fishy too from what he told you?
And let me just say this and answer Joe's question, but I just want to say this. I don't necessarily smell something fishy.
You always smell something fishy, though.
I know that there could be the smell of fish coming from this. Anytime there's a sea voyage, whether it goes awry or not, the smell of fish is going to be out there. Now, is it going to be bad fish? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just saying I'm overly cautious because I see what could potentially happen. There's been no indicator of like a bong lying out in his, underneath his bed. I've seen, you know, no incriminating text messages. I've seen no ulterior motives or any discussions. I've seen nothing else to indicate that this is nothing than what he said it is. I just know what could happen. So, answer the question Joe asked.
Do you smell something fishy from the story, Kyle?
I don't know. You know, I don't know his son, so I don't know what to, or his friends. You know, that's the big thing is bad behavior is a gateway for more bad behavior. You
it's
know?
Just like I'm pot. That's what it is. Pot's the gateway drug.
That's ridiculous.
And yes and no. You're not wrong there. But solutions here, though, dog. There's a couple things you could do. One, you could track where he's at with GPS on his phone because he's on your account. You could get an app that'll show you where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad idea right there.
And just so people know, too, and you'll get to number two, but Kyle, I have what we have at the doghouse that's known as the shakedown.
Yeah.
And at random, I'll go in, I'll tell my son what's going on in the computer, hand me your phone, what's going on, I'll shake him down, just like they do in prison, so I can find contraband. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't hand the phone over, if he doesn't open up the computer and I can go through it, then we're going to have trouble. And these shakedowns are at random. Here's the thing. I do not have that app on his phone to track him, although he has that on his phone so he can find his phone, if in fact he were to lose it. And I had thought about doing that, and my wife would probably want to do that, but here's the thing.
Are you guys an iPhone family?
We are.
Everyone in the house has iPhones?
Yeah. The pads, the laptops.
I think, isn't there something within the iPhone system if you can do it that way?
We can pretty easily. I know my wife knows how to do it. We can know where all the devices are at all times.
I think so. I don't know. I'm new to it, but I think there is.
Yeah, you could do it without him even knowing.
But, yeah, and here's the thing. Here's the thing. That's the part of the leash that I'm going to give him. I don't need to be that in his life or in his business to know where he's going. Those are the mistakes and the things that I want him to do because here's the thing. On the first voyage, if I lock him down out of the gate and we're going to get the iPhone tracker, what's he going to do with the second and third time? He's going to lie. Okay. If I give him a little bit of trust and give him a 10 o'clock curfew and give him a short leash, hopefully he'll respect it, saying to himself, if I do what's expected, they'll give me an inch next time, and a second inch, and a third, et cetera, et cetera. If I go into this thing not trusting him out of the gate, then he's going to get more deceptive. Mm. That's my logic on this. I could be wrong, but I want to give him a little bit. I just want to give him a controlled environment this first time out and see if he can respect it and do it to our liking, then he'll get more. That, to me, is how I would do it.
Last thing, then. Whatever time the movie's over, you know, if it's over at 9:30 or 10, or I guess it wouldn't be 10, but, you know, whenever it's over, I would say just give them an hour from when the movie's over so that they could go get something to eat after and chill and then get dropped off.
What that does is leave it open now for the kids to say, oh, we stopped off and got something to eat. We got late. We missed the 6:45 showing. We had to go to the 8:45 showing. Therefore, we had to stay after. That opens up that excuse. If everything stays on a dedicated timeline, you see.
Yeah.
You gotta give.
Well, there is something to that. I guess
there's no room for excuses in the dog household. Though
there's not, and
no,
that's
I would
why
feel the same way.
Have to have concrete timelines and milestones with it with these adventures, so that way you get results and you know what's going on.
I think you got it pretty well put together, dog.
He runs it with an iron fist over there, Kyle.
Yeah, you know what? Every now and again, you know what? The townspeople will turn on the dictator.
They sure will.
that happens.
The tyrant will be leveled.
There will be a mutiny. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff, good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, Jeff.
Hey.
I thought you were going to say it again. Hey, okay, go
What's
ahead,
up?
Man. We're just screwing around.
Okay. Hey, Doc. So I got a son that's 16, and I'm going through the same thing with him as you are with yours.
Can you elaborate? We do a radio show. Yeah. I mean, unless that's all you had to say. If so, thank you. Have a good Friday. Have a great weekend. I mean, come on.
So me and my wife decided that we would let him, because we trust our son to make good decisions, but due to kids with the peer pressure and all that, we gave him an out, a safety line. So he texts me, 911, and then I call him, and we have a story concocted that his grandmother's in the hospital or something. And then I go pick him up. When things start going sideways, and he's uncomfortable in the situation, he doesn't have to be the bad guy.
Oh, okay. Ooh,
now, wait a minute. That's not bad, huh?
I like and I dislike this. Now, this is smart. This is good. We've all seen the movies where the guy or the girl goes out on a date and they say, hey, call me or text me at 10 to get me out of this if it goes bad. We've all seen that breakdown. I like that because it's smart, because your kid doesn't have to argue with the peer pressure. He doesn't have to come up with his own excuse. It gives him no reason or rhyme to argue with what's going on. He just simply taps out, calls you, boom, or texts you. You call the phone. He's got the easy out. No harm, no foul. I like that a lot. That's smart. I may take that into account. But what about the point of when you know it's wrong, stand the freak up, pump the chest out and tell the other kids, you with me, you against me? You got to stand up and say, I'm against you. Open up the car door.
If he's not been experienced with it or introduced to it, that first time is scary.
And that's why I like this, because this is that good, give him an inch the first time out instead of the whole damn leash.
If it happens a couple times, you can build up your strength to it. But.
And that's why I do like it. It is pretty smart, because the first couple times out, that's great to have.
Yeah.
You could tap out and call your parents, but at some point.
That way you could say, Dad, I don't know, it got a little fishy in there. I mean, they started, rolling up a doobie or somebody had something to drink.
Someone had a bottle of cinnamon schnapps and they were driving.
I wasn't sure what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like that because with my theory of you got to say what's wrong and you got to get out of the car, ultimately, at some point, that's when stuff happens, because it is tough a lot of times when you're around kids.
What do you mean you got to get out of the car? What's the matter, you little wussy?
Yeah. Mom, I'm making cookies.
Sarah wants you to stay.
Yeah. She doesn't have her underwear on. Dynamic. You must be gay. All that stuff starts happening.
Good Lord.
The dynamic that they're working, though, is with the girl. The girl is going to be the Achilles heel of him standing up for him, himself.
Yeah, and that we all know this. You're as right. Guys. We don't have any ladies here to discuss this with, but as guys, man, that's the thing. Buddy peer pressure, never had a problem with that. The chicks, they'd bend me every time.
Well, they bend everyone, because you want to feel cool and you want to look tough in front of them.
You just want to feel them. The chicks, you're just like, man, the chicks just had that kryptonite power, man. They'd place it around your neck and you'd fall to the ground every damn time.
Yeah, well, it still happens that way, doesn't it?
Jeff, I like that. That is pretty damn good. That is pretty good.
That's
I like
that.
That's
not a bad idea at all, yeah.
Let's go to Kelly. Kelly, good morning.
Hey, morning, guys.
Hi, Kelly.
How's it going? Hey, yeah, I was just going to say, man, dog. You got to give him some space. A kid is a good kid naturally. He's got some good grades, He definitely deserves a timeout, but, you can't be that helicopter dad, and be all over.
I'm not. See, that's the thing I want you to know. I'm not. He's going to go, but he needs that 10 o'clock curfew. He doesn't need to go to midnight, because like I told you, the closer you get to midnight, the stupider you get. You go past midnight, you're clinically insane. You're mentally disabled. Anything that happens to anyone, adults or kids, after midnight is stupid.
He's always said that, and that is ridiculous, that my best work's been done after midnight.
Joe's best work was done after midnight, and after midnight, he would stay up till 3, till 4, and then he wouldn't show up for real work.
Yeah, maybe need a little compromise there and give him 11,
Yeah, see, again, again, compromise. A lot of people say that's what keeps a marriage strong. All right, I might compromise with my wife, with my 16 or almost 16-year-old son. There's no compromise. Parents compromise too much. That's what you don't do.
Did you ask him?
Not with raising children.
Did you ask him what his buddies, what time they had to be home? Or the girls, did you say, hey, man, what time's the other kids got to be home?
Like I told you, this whole thing got slapped in my face last night, like 10 minutes before I'm going to bed.
Oh, that's right.
And I had to tell my wife, we'll pick this up and talk about this tomorrow.
So you didn't even get to talk to him?
A little bit, quickly, but I told him we can't get into this now. I said, probably you'll get to go. Probably you'll be home at 10. And this is what we're going to talk about, your mom and I, tomorrow. Have your phone on so we can text you while you're at school or at lunch. And I said, because I got to unwind. You can't drop all this anvil truckload of weight on me before I go to bed, because I have a hard time sleeping as it is. So I had to, you know, let go of it to go to sleep.
Well, we have to go to bed as soon as the sun goes down right now.
Yeah.
What was his reaction when you said, probably you'll be home at 10?
I think he was pretty happy with that.
Okay.
Because I think all he thought I was going to come in and say, you're not going, I don't know these people, you're going to have a Friday night here at home.
Gotcha.
I think is what he thought was going to happen.
Gotcha.
But he gets to do quite a bit of stuff, and we let him. I want to go to Brennan. Brennan, good morning.
Hey, sorry, man. I was just picking up a ticket for the airport. To add to the, I think it was Jeff, one of the things that I did that was very helpful.
How old are your kids?
I got a 21-year-old and I have a 24-year-old, so we're pretty fortunate. I think, obviously, we made mistakes, but I'm pretty happy with the way things turned out. I think we got really lucky.
All right, so, yeah, you've been here. You've done this age. What do you got?
Yeah. So, I never thought I'd do this. I'm not into the Big Brother stuff at all, but I also did the phone app thing, Life360. So that, let's not talk about that one because you guys already did. But one of the things that I did that took the element of, like, for example, the
babysitting
thing you're talking about. I'm a fireman, so I had an opportunity to get a hold of these cups that you got to piss in for drug use. So, like, from the perspective of an addict or whatever, guy, we were talking about these things, like, hey, check this out. So I got these cups, and I let my kid know, don't ever give me an opportunity to use this cup. And I'm not saying that you have, but no, I have this cup. So if you put me in a position to where I feel like we set the ground rules out like you have, and here they are, call me if you need a ride, that type of thing. But if I ever suspect that you're getting outside of that parameter, I have this cup, and I held that over him. And what was cool about that was he could tell his friends, hey, I can't smoke weed. My dad will test me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a bit of an out for him. If he was in a position where he's like, yeah, you know, that peer pressure is always going to be there, and it gave him an out to where I was the bad guy. He wasn't the kid going, nah.
That's
not
a bad idea. You could come in with a heavy hand like that. You're the kind of dad would have a pee test at home on the shelf.
No, but see, here's the thing, and this is, I guess, the advice I wanted, now as I listen to this and I sit through this, I guess that's what I'm not confident with, and the advice I want, ultimately, moreover, it's not the curfew, it's not these people I don't know. I don't know how secure I am or confident I am in his ability to handle peer pressure.
Mm.
That's, I think, the root of this and why I feel weird about it, is I'm not buttoned up and confident with his ability to deal with scumbags. And I think that he would be easily, even though he's smart, he knows how to make the right decision, he knows what's expected, I think he's going to get a little mushy in the wrong hands or company of these kids. That's my personal opinion. I could be wrong.
Is that because of your inability to handle peer pressure when you were a youngster? And the trouble that you got yourself into.
No, I'll be honest. When I grew up, I'm here to tell you, I folded to no peer pressure. In fact, you ask most people, it was me that peered them. that pressured them, I mean. It was usually me that was egging them on and doing it.
So there's where the old worry comes from.
So I kind of, that's exactly it. And yeah. My wife and I have tried to do things the opposite way. But back to this guy with the pee cup, I've had umpteen, I don't know, hundreds, 50, 60 conversations about pot, and it all stems back to, I always tell my son, you know I work with Joe, one of the most prolific, notorious drug users ever. And I said,
told him to use me on many occasions as a reason.
And I say, you don't want to end up like him, do you? And almost all the time, he says, no, I don't.
That's ridiculous.
And I use Joe as one.
He totally wants to be me. I'm cool, man.
And I use my father as the other.
Yeah, see, that's what really helps you right there.
And I've always told him, and there's not going to be a pee cup, because here's the thing. This is going to be, at least in my world, in my house, with how I was raised, there's not going to be a pee cup. It's probably going to be a closed fist. And
there's
a lot
no dope in dog's house.
There's a lot of people that hear that, and they think that's going to be abusive.
I hear that. I think that's a little out of line.
I will punch him, and he knows it. All of his things are gone. He is stripped down, living like a prisoner. If he comes home high on any drug, be it prescribed pills, be it pot, methamphetamine, any of that, he knows there's a zero tolerance policy, and he knows the very worst that can happen will. And I've also told him, if you want to smoke dope, if you want to do illicit street drugs, you want to do heroin, you can do that after you get out or get through a majority of college. Otherwise, no, because I'm not going to pay for you to go to college and you to experiment. Is he going to? Yeah, he's going to do a little bit. He's going to do a little bit. And I said, when you get into your junior
year, he'll probably experiment and try things, but I don't see him being a drug addict, dude, at all.
I'm just telling you, dude, with this whole legalization of pot is now the new alcohol.
Yeah, but the kids are, they're not doing it the way they did alcohol. If you look at the statistics right now, the use in underage marijuana smoking is not rising. It's not at an all-time
high. When's the last
high.
Time you checked that stat?
I mean, a month ago. I just read another article on it that said that the legalization of pot is not really wrecking our teenagers' lives.
Everything I have read is the shift of alcohol and other drinks and other things we used to do, they're shifting into marijuana because of the natural properties. Kids are going to... This is the new alcohol.
That's for adults.
No, but for kids. More kids are going to smoke pot now than kids drank back when we did it. Back in the day, you either smoked pot or you drank, or for some, they did both.
Yeah, I was going to say a lot of our kids did both.
Did both. But yeah, younger kids now don't want to drink because they've watched their parents drink. They've seen alcoholism. They've seen grandpa die of liver disease. They've seen all this stuff
happen.
Well,
they just know it's worse on your body, you know?
And they've moved to smoking pot. Pot is more acceptable now than it would have been, you know, hanging out at the canal drinking beer back when we were 16.
And there's no way for that to ever take a back seat now. The unfortunate thing in your world, because I know you dislike it and do not want it around you, but that's now rolling forward. Pot's not going to slow down.
Yeah,
but
in my house, there's a zero tolerance policy, so I don't need to hold a cup over his head because he knows the outcome. And if he wants to gamble, if he wants to roll the dice, that's on him. And the worst of the worst will happen to him, and he knows that.
I would not want to gamble with that.
One more. Tim, I appreciate you hanging. What's up?
Hey, morning, guys.
Hey, Tim.
I just wanted to touch real quick on the curfew thing. So I agree. Nothing good happens after midnight. All bad. It's all just downhill. So 10 o'clock, does he stay up late normally just kind of by himself?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, during the
right
school week. Yeah, he stays up till 10:30, you know, sometimes 11. As long as he's, you know, doing his grades and getting everything done, that's fine. And he's not tired or he's not acting like a poop in the morning, you know, with my
right.
wife. If everything's good, yeah, it's 10:30, 11. Sometimes it's a little bit later. So he does like to stay up late.
So I think it's Friday night, right? He's going out. I think this is all more about the girl, you know, and hanging out, stuff like that. So I think, say, you know, I'd like you home by 10, but if you're home past midnight, it's whipping time. You know what I mean? Like, give him that choice to see what he does. Like you're saying about
that's not bad either.
No. But here's the thing: I don't have to give him the either or. He knows if he's not home at 10, it's whipping time. I mean, when I say be home at 10, that's just it. But he's going to want to argue and try to get, you know, 30 minutes to an hour out of it. Here's the other thing.
You just don't think that's a bit early for movie night?
Tell him you want him home at 10, but if he's home past midnight,
I'm not going to tell him I want him home at 10. I'm going to tell him he must be home at 10.
That is the fixed time.
Yeah.
It will be 10 tonight.
We're not concrete on that, my wife and I, but that's the time we want. And here's the other thing. With parents, he doesn't understand this, and we've told him, because kids don't understand this, parents worry. My mom used to tell me, Craig, do you know how worried I was about you? You didn't even... And back then, I was like, Mom, you're old, shut up, there's nothing to worry about, I'm a boy, blah, blah, blah.
Now you get it.
Now I'm a parent, and the main reason we want him home, too, is so we don't have to worry. We can shut down and finally go to sleep and know that, okay, he went out, he's home, he's safe, it's okay. There's no reason for mom to stay up pacing till midnight. There's no reason for me to worry about mom and worry about him. There's also something to be said about our sanity.
Yeah.
Get your ass home at 10. Everything's shut down. We're good. Let's go to bed. Next time you want to go out, do a couple of 10 o'clock curfews. All right. Yeah, you've earned the right to go to 11. Sure, if there's like a dance and something else after, you're going to go to dinner. Okay, let's try midnight. You know, it's got to be a graduation progression of
he times. Earns his lateness, yes. And the ability to stay out,
yeah,
a little bit later.
At least that's where I'm at. I don't know.
Not a bad idea either. I don't know. I got no advice on something like this. I have trouble radioing with you right now. I sit here and listen and take notes.
Well, it's
this is going to happen to me one day. I got to know what's happening.
It is. It's tough. You know, and sometimes you think, well, I'm just going to take the front door off and I'm going to put those hippie beads up. You know, those beads that you just walk in and out of? Let him do whatever he wants. What's wrong with those beads?
Huh? What's wrong with those beads?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No front door, nothing. Just come and go as you please. Make your own decisions. Whatever happens, happens. But I know deep down, I can't live with that. And I think people need structure, and I think they make better decisions with the more structure they have.
You could never go without structure in your home. That would ruin you.
I couldn't.
3 days tops, you'd be on the floor curled up. You got to have a outline.
I do. We're done with this. We got to move on. It's Friday. We got happy news over sad music. We got more tickets to the iHeart Music Festival and a bunch of other stuff. Listen to this.